if not longer. I'm wanting to say it's about 3 or 4. It's just time sort of sometimes blends together, knowing the exact moment. But we were here at the church praying. And for me, most times my messages come while I'm reading. I'm reading scriptures and things jump off the page at me. And it's like I feel God is speaking to me at that moment and showing me direction. And a lot of times that is the case, but this time was different. I was here at the church praying, and I was walking along the front here, and I was just praying. And it was just so clear to me that God spoke. And so at that moment, I stopped praying, and I came up to the platform, and I found a pen, and I came to the pulpit, and I began to write, and I wrote a little while. And then I walked over to about where that chair is, right there by the piano, and I began to pray some more. And then I came back over to the pulpit, and I began to write some more. And then I went back over, and I began to pray some more. And then I came back, and I began to write. And this went on over and over again as God just kept laying things on me and laying this message into and putting it into my spirit. And I have to say the hardest thing for me was to keep it under wraps for the last few weeks. While we had guest speakers here, it was probably one of the hardest things to do. I really want to say, you know what, I'll go ahead and take this one. And last week, I got confirmation while he was preaching. And while he was preaching, it just, all right, God, you know what you're doing here. And so I ask you to turn with me and I'm going to just read the verse I'm going to end with. It is Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. I will tell you that this is a two-part message. I hope to lay some foundational work here this morning, and next week, hopefully, we will bring it all together. You don't want to miss this next week. I really feel strong about what I'm going to say. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." And I just want to preach for the next few moments on this message. Don't remove the landmarks. Don't remove the landmarks. Jesus, God, I know, Lord, what I felt in the moment that you gave me this word. God, I know the presence that I felt. I know your power that I felt. God, you spoke to me so clearly and so directly. And God, I ask, Lord, right now that you would anoint me to preach this message. God, I pray, Lord, that your anointing would be upon me. I recognize who I am, and I recognize, Lord, my abilities. And so I know, Lord, that I need your help right now. God, I need your touch. I need your anointing. I need you to speak through me and to help me. And God, I pray, Lord, that this message would go forth. God, that it would help us, that it would encourage us. Lord, that it would even challenge us. Lord, that it would draw us to a place in you. God, I pray, Lord, that you allow the words to come out clearly and effectively to do what you have ordained it to do. Touch each one here tonight or today. Help us to receive your word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't remove the landmarks. In every city, almost in every neighborhood, all through the United States and around the world, are monuments, markers, even odd things that people look to in order to tell their direction and location. These are called landmarks. The dictionary defines a landmark as a prominent or easily seen object on land that serves as a guide, especially to ships at sea or to travelers on a road. It's a distinguishing landscape feature marking a site or location, and it's used to mark the boundary of land. It may be a building, it may be some other place that is of outstanding historical, aesthetic, or cultural importance. Often declared as such and given a special status. It is given, there is a status called a landmark designation, which is ordaining its preservation by some authorizing organization. And I'm here to say it is these landmarks that we look for. It is these landmarks that mark our location, and it's these landmarks that let us know we are on the right path. Has anyone ever done any traveling and you've gone and you've known that I know how to get there, not necessarily by a road, but I can tell you where it's by. I can tell you where I need to get to. I can tell you when I see it that this is where you turn. This is where you go. This is how you get here. Why? It's because there's a landmark that says I know where I am. When I see this moment, when I see this place, when I hear this sound, I know where I'm at. I know where I've touched down. I know my location. About 4 weeks ago, I was at Aldi's and I was shopping and I was picking up some things, and this lady walked by. It might have been 5 or 6, I don't know. Time sort of blends after a while. And it was some time ago. This lady was walking by me and she sort of looked at me. And I, nodded, just acknowledged that she, we saw each other. And I didn't think much about it. And she started to go by and then she stopped. And she turned back around and she began to talk to me. And real friendly. And so we were talking for just a moment, and she looked at me again, and I'm like, why do you keep looking at me? I'm not the most outgoing person in the world. I typically keep to myself, and so I'm not always the best in those types of situations. And she says, you look really familiar to me. I said, oh, really? She goes, yeah, you look like a pastor I used to have. Thinking, oh boy, should I be remembering who she is? And I said, well, that's interesting. I said, where was he a pastor at? Because I'm a pastor. And she said, well, he was in Pennsylvania, and it was some time ago. I was like, well, that wasn't me. I was never in Pennsylvania. And she began to just tell me, and we began to ask, she asked questions, so where do you pastor at, and where are you at? And I said, I'm pastoring at North Point. And I told her, I said, I don't know if you, how familiar you are, and found out she actually lives in Talmadge. I said, I don't know how familiar you are, but with 59, but we're right on 59. And we, you come down, where the old McDonald's used to be with Fish Creek. And I gave my explanation of how to tell people where the church is. I get asked that question a lot. Where is the church at? And so I began to tell her where it was located. And she looked at me and says, I know where that church is. And she said, it's my landmark. She said, when I'm driving from Stowe, I know when I see that sign that I'm supposed to turn right at that next road. She said, it is my landmark. I know where I am when I see that church. And oh my goodness, it began to speak to me because I began to realize that this church is a landmark. It's not just a physical place. It's a place where people see it and they should know when I see that place, I know God's there. When I see that place, I know where I can run. I know when I'm in trouble, if I can get to the house of God. I know if I'm hurting, if I'm wounded, if there's trouble, I know where I can run. I know where I can go. I know they pray there. I know they touch God there. I know they seek God there. I know they love God there. And I know they love me there. This church is supposed to be a landmark for this city. Everyone should know when they see us what we are, who we are, what we are. They should know I can be safe there. I can go there. I can find God there. They should know when I step in those doors, there's a presence of the Almighty. I'm telling you, that's what I want the church to be. If you want to know what I want it to be, I want it to be a place where people know they can find God. This church should be a landmark for this city. It's a place where people can run. It's a place where people can hide. It's a place they know I'm hurt. I'm wounded. I'm in trouble. But I know where I can go. I know where there's healing in his wings. I know where there's deliverance. I know where I can find the love of God. I'm here to tell us today that this church is a landmark. Each one of us personally have landmarks in our lives. You have landmarks along your journey in life. You have places that you've been. You have things that you've done. You have things that have made you and affected you and caused you to be who you are. Both good and bad. I don't want to focus on the bad. I want to focus on the good. I want to know there's a landmark in my life that says I can remember a time when his mercy. I remember a time that his love came over me. I remember a time when I repented. I remember a time when I fell in my face before God. And I said, God, I'm not worthy. God, I'm not worthy. You know I've messed up. You know I've done wrong. You know I've been in trouble. And instead of him looking at me and casting judgment on me, he simply lifted my head and said, son, I still love you. Son, I still want to do something with you. Son, I still have something for your life. I want to know there's a moment in my life when I touched his throne. There's a landmark in my life. I can remember the day I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I can remember a day when I was called to preach. I can remember the day when God put his anointing on my life. I can remember those days. I can remember those times. They're landmarks on my journey in life. Every one of you have a story. Every one of you have a landmark. Can I tell you today that Jesus himself was a landmark? The dictionary also defined a landmark as a significant or historic event, juncture, or achievement. I can't think of any more historic moment than the day Jesus was born and the day Jesus died. There's no more historic moment, no more powerful world-shaping moment than that time. Can I tell you, Jesus touching your life should be the most historic moment that you've ever had. Praise God. Oh, I can tell you I've had some good ones. We just got done with Valentine's Day, and you know, marrying my wife was a historic moment for me. My parents were finally glad to get me out of their house. My mom was glad that there was one less room she had to clean. She used to clean our rooms. Guess she wouldn't know what we were doing. She always knew what we were doing because she was always in our room. And that's okay. Kept me saved. But I know that moment, that time when my wife, when those doors first opened, and she stood there, and I can tell you the emotions was I was wanting to cry and I was wanting to laugh and I was all mixed up and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was just so overjoyed. I can remember the birth of my first son and the joy that came with it. Not long ago, I was going through some pictures and we were just kind of going through, and boy, we realized how many pictures we took of Josiah, my third. I think it was because there was 4 years between my second and my third, that when the third came around, it was like starting all over again. And I mean, there was picture after picture after picture after picture. Like, my goodness, he's the only one we took pictures of. I can remember those moments, those landmarks in my life. But I'm here to tell us today that the Bible is a landmark. Jesus is a landmark, and his word is a landmark. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." The Bible tells us, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man, earthly man to ever live and walk on this earth before Jesus, he said, "Don't remove the landmarks that have been set. Don't pick them up. Don't destroy them. Know why they're there." You know, it's amazing. It hit me. I went to dictionary.com. I mean, the days of using actual hard copies of things, I hardly do that anymore. We've got a dictionary. I let the boys use it. I can't remember the last time I've actually went to a hardcover dictionary or even an encyclopedia or even a commentaries or all that. There's nothing wrong with that. Strong's Concordance. It's just now I have it all at my fingertips in one place. I don't have to have 25 books spread all over the place. I have it all in one place, and I can just zip back and forth and look, and it's great for efficiency. Amen. But I went to dictionary.com to look further into what a landmark was, and they had what they call a matching quote. This hit me so strong. This is what the matching quote said. "Do not remove the ancient landmark that your ancestors set up." Wait a minute, what did we just read? "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." and dictionary.com had a matching quote that said, "Do not remove the ancient landmark that your ancestors set up." But this is what struck me. Underneath that quote, they said, "Author unknown." I don't know about you, but a holy fire started getting shut up in my bones. I don't know about you, but when they can quote the scripture and then have the audacity to say, "I don't know who wrote that." There are two reasons for this. One, the person who put this on the internet didn't know who the author was. Or two, he was ashamed to put it. And either way, that's a shame in itself, because it's a dictionary. They're supposed to know. It's a dictionary. They're supposed to understand. They're supposed to have the information. They just didn't want to put who the author was. Because I'm here to tell us today that there is an all-out assault on the Bible and the truths that are set therein. There is an all-out assault. This world and the enemy of the church is doing everything he can to destroy and try to speak against the authority of the Word of God. They don't want, oh, they'll quote it, but they'll say, "I don't know who wrote it." Oh, yes, you do. Just don't be ashamed to put "that was Proverbs, that was Solomon, that was the Word of God." Next week, I'm going to preach about why the landmarks are gone. But today, I want to tell us that there are some landmarks that I am going to preserve. Oh, I want you to hear that clear. There are some landmarks that I'm going to preserve. Why? Because if I don't, I said, if I don't, there are generations coming after me that won't know which way to turn. There are generations that are coming that they're going to get to places in their life and they're going to need to know which way to turn. Where do I go? How do I know? And if I've removed the landmarks, if I've buried the landmarks, if I've allowed them to be washed away, then they're going to get to that point and they won't know. Sorry, this is a burden to my soul. Can I say it like this? It's important for every generation to preserve the landmarks set up by the previous generation. I'm not saying we don't, there's not things we do differently and there's not ways of doing things differently, but there are some landmarks that have been set from time past that every generation has to wrestle with the fact, am I going to keep it or am I going to lose it? Am I going to let it go away or have I decided that I'm going to keep the landmark? See, the issue is, we may think it's no big deal to us, but the fact is, there might be a generation coming that hasn't been taught what I've been taught, and they're going to get to that moment, and they're going to look, and there won't be a landmark, because it's gone. There are some things that my parents taught me that directed and protected. They directed me and they protected me. I'm not here from my own accord. I'm not here because somehow I'm smart enough to figure all this out. I'm here because I had parents who set before me some landmarks. Oh, hear me. Hear me. So I want to make sure that these landmarks, these markers, are still visible for my kids and the next generation. I'm here to tell you, each generation has a responsibility for what they will do with the landmark. I'll go ahead and hit this now. I wasn't going to. I was going to save it for next week, but I better move on. I want to make sure that these markers are still visible for my kids, for the next generation, for your kids, for your grandkids. I want them to know that when they pull in these doors, there's a landmark that's here. There are things that are taught. There are things that are told to them. There are truths that they'll know that when they're... I'm not going to be with my kids forever. I'm not going to have them in my home under my protection. There's going to come a moment that they're going to have to make decisions for their own. But what I want to make sure that I've done is I've set the landmark visible enough so that they can see it. Now, it will be up to them whether they want to keep it or whether they want to remove it. It's truth. I pray to God that my boys, when they're my age, are all serving God. I mean, it would be no greater joy for me than to see them all preaching. Sorry, these were bugging me up here. There would be no greater joy, but I can't force them to do this. I can't force them to serve God. All I can do is make sure that I've maintained those landmarks, that I've held those landmarks, that I've made sure they're visible for them, that I make sure that they can see them plainly, that I can make sure when this world is trying to wash them away, when the theology at the colleges is trying to tell them that there is no God, when perversion is trying to get into them, when the enemy of this world is trying to shoot things at them, that they know there's the landmark. I know I'm safe if I'm there. I know I'm on the right path. I'm here to tell you, it will be up to them whether they want to keep the landmark or remove them. But I hope I have put such an emphasis on it that they decide that if that landmark was so strong to my daddy, that I'm gonna make sure I keep it too. If he thought it's so important. Can I meddle? If you wanted your kids to think the church is the most important thing in their life, I've made it a point. I want them to think. They don't know every day when we're leaving the house, they think we're going to the church. They think every day they're asking, is today class time? Is next time class? They don't know why. Because I wanted to make sure. This is where I come. This is where I am. This is what's important to me. This is what I love. This is what I care about. This is so important. I want this next generation to know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I want that next generation to know that there is a landmark that says there's one God, and you should love him with everything that you've got. There's a landmark that I want to see established. I want them to know that through that one God is. I want them to know that for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I want them to know that Jesus is that one God, that Jesus has all power, that when they're in trouble, all they have to do is say, Jesus, and he's there. I don't know. Sometimes they may be sick or they may be in trouble. And they may, oh, Lord, help me. In just a few years, I'm going to have a son that's driving. And I don't. Right now, we're worried about a bike. Pretty soon, we'll be worried about a car. And I don't know when that moment may come that he's driving. And all of a sudden, here comes a head-on collision getting ready to face him. But he knows when I'm in trouble, all I have to do is say, Jesus! And all of a sudden, somebody hear me? There's a landmark! I want them to know that there's not only power in the name, but the Bible says there is only one name that saves us. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's a landmark. Oh, I want them to know there's one plan for salvation. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall. I want them to know that the Holy Spirit isn't just for them, it's for their friends. I want them to know. And unless a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I want them to understand that. I want them to know that. That's a landmark that I'm not willing to move. I want them to know, 1 Peter 15:16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I want them to know that God wants them to be holy. I want your kids to know that God wants them to be holy in every manner of their lifestyle, in everything they do, in everything they look at, in everything they listen to, in everything that they wear, in everything. They should be looking to Jesus as the author and the finisher of their faith. He is the one who will tell them. I want them to know that they need to live a holy life. Because I'll tell you where they're not going to hear that. You won't hear that in your school. They won't hear that on the bus. They won't hear that I'm supposed to live right and I'm not supposed to lie and not supposed to cheat. Their friends are going to try to tell them everything else. They're going to try to introduce them to things that you yourselves would be abhorred if you knew that they knew. But here's what they've got to know, that in the face of that, there's a landmark. There's something that I can look to in the face of that moment.
And while I may not be with them, and while I may not be able to tell them this is more about the Bible and this is more about what it says, there's a landmark that's been set up. You know, I want them to have this marker in their life, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you. I want my boys to be givers. I want them to, I'm not just talking about money. I want them to be willing to give of their time. I want them to be willing to give of things that are important to them, and to say, you know what? That don't matter as much as me being able to do this for God. That doesn't matter as much than me reading my Bible. That doesn't matter as much than me praying to God. That doesn't matter as much, because I know that if I'm faithful in a few things, God will multiply me. There's a landmark. I want them to know how to worship. Nothing pleases me more than to hear little baby Joel, 2 years old, all by himself singing, worship, worship, worship the Lord. He knows this song. That's all he can pronounce. And then they'll say, then he'll say, holy, holy, or worthy, worthy, worthy. He is worthy to be lifted up. Now he can't get all the words right, and all we can pick out is worthy, worthy. Why? Because there's something that's being instilled in him, that's being put. There's a marker that says, I will praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbal and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbal. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbal. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. It's a landmark. Trials come, troubles come, and they're not sure how I'm going to get that, but they know that I can still praise the Lord. I can still worship the Lord. In everything, give thanks. Yes. There's landmarks. They're not put there. So that there can be rules and regulations for a pastor to be on a power trip. Can I tell you, the landmarks are there to direct and protect. They're there so that you know where to go, that you know what to do, that you know how to do it. They're there to preserve your... The landmarks are put there for your own protection. I've had people question me on why I believe this and why I believe that. And this is what I tell them. I would rather set the line right here and have somebody miss that mark and end up over here and they're still saved. But I would sure hate to put that mark here and they miss that mark. And down they fall. I would rather say, you know what? I'll set it back just a little bit. I'll put it here. Because here's what I know. If you make it to heaven, you're not going to come looking for me and say, why did you have me do that? And why did you tell me that was important? And why? Good, no, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm here. You're going to thank him for making it. But on the other side, if you didn't make it to heaven, and you, oh, you're going to be looking for me. You're going to tell me, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you show me? Why didn't you speak it to me? Why did you do that? And I recognize that the responsibility of the church, that I've got to give an account for every single one that will allow me to pastor them. And I don't take that lightly. So you know what I'm going to do? There's a landmark. There's a landmark. There's a landmark. There's a landmark. You see those landmarks? They're put there for a reason. They're there for a specific reason. They're there because I'm just trying to get you to heaven. I'm just trying to get you to live an overcoming life. I just know that on the other side of that, there's danger. And how easy it would be for the enemy to come and get you when you're out of the protection. That's all landmarks are set. And I'm getting ready to close. You say, hallelujah. See, it's only 11:35. Y'all getting used to it. See, you're building up a stamina. Now I go to 11:35. You're like, yes. Don't worry. My closings are getting longer. One of the saddest commentaries in Scripture is found in Judges 2 and verse 10. And I'm going to hit this stronger next week. But it says, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them. You ready? Which couldn't see the landmark. There was a generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I don't know if what I've preached today either made you mad or convicted or you're with me. I don't know. I don't want to make anybody mad. That's not why I do this. I like everybody to like me. But as I read this, you know what hit me? I don't want to be that generation. I don't want to be that generation. I don't want to be the generation that let the landmarks go to waste. I don't want to be that generation that took them down and destroyed them. Because I don't want a generation coming up after me that says, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. You know what I can tell you? It has been so ingrained to me that the Bible is my filter. I don't want the next generation to come along and say, I don't know what to use. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So if I can somehow
get across to us that it's so important that I don't remove the landmark. Let's all stand. I don't know if today you felt what I felt. The need to let God speak to us. Maybe if you have kids here, you can say, you know what? I'm going to make it a point. Those landmarks are going to be visible. Maybe your kids are grown. They're out of the house. Maybe you've got grandkids. Maybe even you've got great grandkids that you still have influence in their life. Let me tell you, the most important thing you can do in their life is say, kids, let me teach you these landmarks. Let me tell you these landmarks. Let me make sure that you understand these landmarks. Best thing you can do is tell them, when you're inside these landmarks, you're safe. Maybe today you just want to thank Him for the landmarks. Maybe today you want to repent. Maybe you've let some things slide. You've let some things go by. Maybe you once thought some things were very important and now they're just marginalized or they're not even important at all. Can I tell you, it's not too late to reestablish a landmark. I've seen some pretty torn up and destroyed landmarks that have gotten restored. And they look as beautiful today as they did then. I know some landmarks that have been completely obliterated, but they've been able to rebuild them so we remember what they were like. So we know why they were there. So we know what was important there. I'm encouraging us today that we have landmarks that are important to maintain. I'm opening this altar right now. Maybe you want to talk to God about some things. Maybe you want to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you want to thank Him. Maybe you just want to say, God, help me to show me how to establish these. Show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me how I can teach my children, how I can teach my grandkids. Show me how I can lead my family. Show me, God, how I can best do this. Show me, God. That's why we've been given His word. Because it's a landmark that will never be destroyed. His word is forever settled in heaven. These altars are open. I'm finished. I think it's time we seek God. I think it's time we check our own lives. I don't want you to check somebody else's. I don't want you to look at somebody else's life and try to judge whether they've got their landmarks up or why they don't. What we need to do, each one of us, is to look inside of our own life and say, God, search me. God, know me. See if there's anything in me. God, let me see for myself where I am, what I'm doing. Let me see, Lord, what things I may have left, what things I need to resurrect, what things I need to do. God, help me to know. Encourage me, God. Speak to me, Jesus. Let me hear. Let me know.